As far as abortion is concerned, the world's attention is currently focused on Ireland and on their abortion referendum next week on the 25th of May concerning the Eighth Amendment of the Irish Constitution. The outcome of that referendum will result in countless lives being saved or in countless lives being destroyed, not only in Ireland, but all around the world. So great is the cultural influence of this small nation of 4.8 million citizens. How individual consciences have been formed in Ireland is going to make a difference to the lives of ordinary people in countries throughout the world. If the Irish vote to defend the lives of unborn children, it will strengthen the pro-life movement worldwide. If the Irish, on the other hand, vote to destroy the lives of unborn children, the Holocaust of abortion, which already dwarfs the total number of people killed in all human conflicts in the recorded history of the world, will enter a new and more frightening era. Ireland's cultural influence worldwide is rooted in the blood of the Irish martyrs, in the sweat and sacrifices of Irish missionaries, in the ancient Catholic faith of Ireland, and in Ireland's tragic social history leading to Irish emigrants enriching so many nations throughout the world with their faith. Above all, Ireland's reputation is founded on its history as a Catholic nation, which has spread the one true Catholic faith throughout the world. If Ireland says yes to abortion, the media, the political establishment, academia, and people of faith and no faith throughout the world will say, the Catholic Church has raised the white flag on abortion. They will not be right, of course, but that is what will be said, and it will have a devastating impact on the pro-life cause. And if we do nothing else during and after this conference, we must pray for a pro-life victory in Ireland next week. In my presentation today on a true understanding of conscience and the need for heroic witness on the part of the pro-life and pro-family movement, I want to focus on two earlier abortions in Ireland in 1992 and 2002. The Eighth Amendment of the Irish Constitution, approved by referendum on the 7th of September 1983 and signed into law on the 7th of October 1983, famously declares, and I quote, "The state acknowledges the right to life of the unborn, and with due regard to the equal right to life of the mother, guarantees in its laws to respect, and as far as practicable, by its laws to defend and vindicate that right." In 1992, the family of a 14-year-old victim of rape sought an abortion for their daughter. The case was ultimately decided by the Irish Supreme Court. It's known as the X case. The Eighth Amendment of the Irish Constitution was a measure intended to prevent the introduction of abortion by making the right to life of the unborn equal with that of his mother. In a complete distortion of logic, the Supreme Court judges ruled that the Eighth Amendment had in fact legitimized abortion when a woman's life was threatened by her pregnancy, even if, as in the X case, the threat was one of suicide. In response to the Supreme Court's ruling, the Irish government decided to hold a referendum on abortion which sought to remove the threat of suicide as justification for an abortion. However, at the same time, the government was seeking, on the basis of the referendum, to legalise abortion when there was a real and substantial risk to the woman's life, including a psychological risk. in pursuit of their objective to destroy protection for unborn children, the Irish government threatened that if Irish citizens did not agree to the to their deadly referendum text, the government would introduce abortion legislation in line with the Supreme Court judgment. In a tragic development, the Irish Catholic authorities declared that Catholics were free to vote in accordance with their consciences on this measure. Now, Catholics, of course, must always vote according to their consciences, or at least not against their consciences. However, our consciences must be conformed to the divine law, and the Church has an obligation to direct Catholics according to divine law on such questions and to make clear the eternal and temporal consequences of acting otherwise. The people of Ireland in 1992 were being invited by their bishops to consider voting in favour of an intrinsically unjust law which would introduce in statutory form an unjust permission for abortion where there was a risk to a woman's life, including a psychological risk. How was it possible for the Irish Catholic authorities to invite Catholics to consider voting for a measure which would have introduced for the first time a statute legalising abortion in Ireland, albeit after a permissive court judgment and under the threat of the government introducing worse legislation? At that time in 1992, I spoke to a world-famous Catholic legal philosopher who told me that he had told the Irish bishops that they were justified in giving such advice on the grounds that even more lives might be lost if the government carried out its threat to legislate on the basis of the Supreme Court judgment in the event of Irish voters rejecting the proposed constitutional amendment. I thought at the time, and I still think, that in the context of the intrinsically unjust law which Irish voters were being invited to support in 1992, it was equivalent to the Irish government handing an Irish citizen a gun and asking him to shoot a certain number of citizens on the basis that unless he agrees to do so, the government will shoot perhaps even more citizens. Shortly before the referendum, however, by the grace of God, five bishops publicly declared their desire for a no vote. The amendment was eventually rejected by 65.35% to 34.65%. With such a substantial defeat, the government withdrew its threat to introduce liberalising legislation. The position of the majority of the Catholic bishops in Ireland in 1992, saying that Irish citizens could consider voting yes or no to proposals relating to the killing of unborn children, undoubtedly dealt a tragic blow to the formation of consciences in Ireland. In October 2001, the Irish government once again published the terms of certain proposed amendments to the Irish Constitution. There was to be a referendum in March 2002, when the Irish people would be asked to vote to accept or reject new provisions to Article 40.3 of the Constitution, whereby, I quote, "the life of the unborn in the womb shall be protected in accordance with the provisions of the Protection of Human Life in Pregnancy Act 2002. The referendum and proposals arose once again from the Irish Supreme Court's decision in the X case, to which I referred earlier, and which seemed perversely to indicate that if a pregnant woman threatened suicide, an abortion carried out upon her would be considered legal under Irish law. The declared intention of those who supported the government's proposals was to close this loophole, but in fact, the constitutional change and legislation contained much more than that simple provision, as I will explain. Now, on 22nd of November 2001, His Eminence Cardinal Alfonso López Trujillo, President of the Pontifical Council for the Family, said it was expected that the bishops of Ireland would oppose the wording of the Irish Constitutional Amendment Bill on abortion, addressing a conference here in Rome to mark the 20th anniversary of the apostolic exhortation Familiaris Consortio. Cardinal Trujillo said, and I quote, "The situation is delicate in Ireland, but we expect that the bishops will react against this proposal," unquote. 3 weeks later, the Irish Catholic bishops did the opposite of what His Eminence Cardinal López Trujillo said was expected. On the 12th of December 2001, they came out in support of the government's proposals, which they indicated would offer, and I quote, "more secure protection to the unborn," unquote. And totally misleadingly, they added that the proposals included, quotes, "a clear legal prohibition on procured abortion," unquote. The Irish bishop said, and I quote, "In dealing with what appears to be a limited or imperfect measure, we believe that in the context of the Gospel of Life, number 73, Catholic voters should feel free in conscience to support this measure, even if it is viewed as less than desired. We are of the view that a clear legal prohibition on procured abortion, as set out in this proposal, represents an important step towards adequate protection of the life of the unborn." The Irish Catholic bishops were disastrously mistaken in how they interpreted the government proposal. And I would argue, culpably so. Contrary to the Catholic bishops of Ireland's advice, the law would have allowed abortion to be carried out by doctors where, in the reasonable opinion of the practitioner, it is necessary to prevent a real and substantial risk of loss of the woman's life other than by self-destruction. That's clause 1.1, subsection 2 of the bill. Now, it was established in English law as long ago as the late 1930s that a woman's life was, in the context of abortion, interpreted by the courts to mean preventing her from becoming, close, open quotes, "a physical or mental wreck," unquote. In other words, a much wider interpretation than simply preventing her death. And there is every reason to suspect that a similar interpretation would be given in Ireland. The new law would have repealed the Offences Against the Person Act 1861, which was the underlying law, subject to the Irish Constitution, which prohibited abortion in Ireland. Now, the same 1861 Act continues to apply in the United Kingdom, and especially in Northern Ireland, where the Abortion Act 1967 does not apply. The British Abortion Act 1967 has largely undermined the 1861 Act in Britain by creating exceptions, but the Act does not apply in Northern Ireland. Pro-lifers in Northern Ireland were rightly concerned at proposals to repeal the Act in the Irish Republic. The repeal of the Act would have had repercussions in the whole of the UK, and indeed in many parts of the former British Empire, where laws based upon the 1861 Act still applied. At that time, there was no more loyal servant of the Catholic Church than Mr. Justice Rory O'Hanlon, a former Irish High Court judge and a very well-known and experienced pro-lifer in Ireland, who died in the spring of 2002. He was reported as having said that he, and I quote, would not support a measure which was contrary to the moral teachings of the Catholic Church. When he saw the referendum proposal, he described it as, and I quote, the most serious attack yet witnessed on the integrity of our Constitution, which he argued would,